Okay, 7 p.m. Do I hear a motion to start the meeting?
I'll make a motion to start the meeting.
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Thank you, Commissioner Hall. First on the agenda is a pledge of allegiance, so if everybody would stand, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, have a moment of silence. Okay, looks like we've got a couple of visitors this evening. Let me introduce ourselves. Harold, you want to start?
Harold Hall, Property Maintenance Commissioner.
Dan Small, Treasurer.
I'm Bob Stones, the Mayor of the City.
Dennis Metcalf, Safety Commissioner.
Carol Campbell, Road Commissioner.
And Steve, introduce yourself.
I'm Steve Schwager, the city attorney. I serve as a pleasure of these people over here. Where am I sitting?
Right in the middle.
We put you right in the center.
No, I see, buddy. We like it.
You know, you never leave your back to expose.
Well, turn it around. I don't.
You learn that in the military.
You don't put your back to me.
All right. Well, I'm more afraid of you than them, so I'm going to keep my eye on you.
All right. First on the list is citizens' participation. I'm assuming there's somebody in the audience that might want to say something. If there's not. Okay. Mrs. Small.
Yes, sir. I feel like as a neighborhood, need to do something about the parking situation on the street. And I know that there are signs up that say that you can't parallel park, or I can't remember what the nature is of those signs. But we need to come up with a firm policy and make sure that everybody in the neighborhood knows what it is, because their neighbor across the street has a large family, and she's received multiple tickets for people being outside, parked outside her home during the day. And we have been concerned that if we have people over, like for lunch after church or whatever, and there's nowhere for them to park, that they're going to get ticketed, which certainly we don't want, and it makes our neighborhood seem very unwelcoming. And so I'm bringing that before the council today.
Okay, we've had this problem for years.
Okay.
We understand that. The reason why the signs were put up is because our streets are very limited on the width and a lot in the cul-de-sacs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And also we need to have fire protection when the ambulances get through.
Right.
Now, not knowing what they're getting tickets for, it could be that they're getting the tickets because the cars aren't parked completely on the street. So even if we have a parking allowance, and we have, and Dennis has issued parking permits, it doesn't stop a district from coming out there and writing tickets. We're governed by Jefferson County also, and we have to maintain safety for all the residents, and that's the problem we have. Now, normally they don't. If Dennis issues a parking permit, it has the date and the time frame of the parking approval, which he also gives to our security team. But 8th District also goes out there and patrols our area, and it doesn't stop them from writing tickets. We've had this problem. We had on Lindbergh, there's a gentleman that used to do church on Sunday morning, mm-hmm. and his parishioners used to get tickets even with the parking passes. So that's the problem you end up with. It's not just us. It's 8th District writing them up, because if you park within 4 feet of the driveway, if you park near fire, and everybody knows that one, if any of your tires are in the grass, okay, if you park within 30 feet of an intersection, they're writing a ticket, because that's part of Louisville's parking code.
Well, do they ever come down
I have no idea.
The reason I'm asking is because they park on both sides of the street. They park on Pacelli.
I have no idea.
But you're saying 8th District comes out and...
Yeah, that's a wide road. I just came down that road. That's very different.
It's terrible. Yeah. I mean, they're parked in front of fire hydrants. They're parked in front of...
Okay, well, that's a different issue than the issue that I'm bringing before us.
But what I'm saying is, he's making it sound like the 8th District is targeting Worthington Hills. I don't think...
They're not targeting it.
Are you concerned that the people adjacent or across from you are parking and taking up too much
room? No, not at all. Okay. We're more concerned that we could have someone over to our home, or they could show up unexpectedly and just drop by and receive a ticket.
Yeah.
And we're not the only ones who are concerned about this, and I just think it makes our neighborhood seem
nobody wants to come to this.
That's exactly it.
I can't have company. I don't know when, like, I me and my mom live on Bay Run, and we have a very big family, and at any moment they all can decide to come to our house. And they're getting tickets. They have gotten tickets. And then if they park on the grass, then that's a ticket also. Then you're telling me that I can't have visitors, and that's not right.
So I'm not telling you can't have visitors.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is that the neighborhood is limited by what?
The driveway. How many cars you put on the driveway, and that's it?
Pretty much so. You can't, like I said, and I'm going to bring it up. It's not anything that I have control over when it comes to Jefferson County's rules.
Yeah, so when we have to go in if you're not able to...
Well, we do have a police contract company.
Right, we have when Dennis issues a parking permit,
right. Okay,
they honor it because he gives them the information. 8th District doesn't have to honor it. We don't have control over 8th District.
Yeah, but what about if it's an emergency, like it happens to me a month ago, one of my family members has to come, and we have to watch her daughter because my uncle has to go to the hospital, and she parked on the street. We don't have, and my driveway is long, but it was full, so we don't have enough space, so she parked on the street, and she got a ticket for $45 on the next morning.
$45?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Who wrote that ticket?
I don't remember the...
I
will get a copy.
Okay, here's the thing. There's a lot of... You can't park within 4 feet of the driveway.
I get that.
You can't have any tires on the grass. You can't infringe upon the safety of emergency vehicles. Our cul-de-sacs are not big enough for fire trucks to turn around in if anybody's parked in them. Okay, without making a lot of maneuvering.
Do you guys have room on your above the sidewalk towards your house?
I don't have a sidewalk.
On the grass?
You can't even park on the grass. You can't park on the sidewalk either. It's against the law to park on the sidewalk
or
anything by it.
Well, that company parked on the grass, and they're going to continue to park on the grass, and if I got tickets, then
talking on the grass? Do you have a sidewalk?
I have a sidewalk. I have grass. And I pay for that. And I've been there 20-some years, and we've never had this park.
But you have some grass between the sidewalk and the street, right?
Yes, and that's where I have my people parked.
And that is why they're getting the ticket. They cannot park.
No, they didn't get a ticket there. They got a ticket with two wheels on the concrete on the street.
Right, right. That's exactly
and
right.
And I feel like that if the neighborhood did not enforce putting all these signs up says no parking, what was wrong with saying no parking in the cul-de-sac or no parking overnight? The police is enforcing what you all have implemented. And there's no parking on the street, and you're dictating how many people we can have at our house, and that's not right.
We're not
so. Me, along with a lot of other people, we're going to move. We've been there 23 years and never experienced anything like this until this year. This is ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. And if I look like I'm upset or I sound like I'm upset, I
understand.
Nobody helps me pay my mortgage.
I understand. Everybody, I've heard this for the last 5 years. The problem is, Any tires on the grass will get you a ticket from the police, period.
Sir, but if we don't have enough space, you know, like, my family, we own 5 different cars. Sometimes I have to go to a different place to park the car because we don't want to get a ticket. So that doesn't make any sense. We, like she's saying, we're paying the mortgage. I don't have a mortgage, luckily. But we're paying our taxes. We're paying everything. And that doesn't make any sense to, doesn't have a be afraid to get a ticket or doesn't have a place to park.
I understand.
So, if you're not able to say or give us a response, where do we have to go? And I can go door to door and pick signatures from the neighborhood, from the whole world is on hills. I don't care. I have the time to show you and show whoever that everybody's upset. Mm-hmm. Like I told two of my neighbors today before I come here walking, and where are you going? I said, I'm going to take a walk and I'm going to a meeting because of the parking issue. They told me you're wasting your time. These people put the rules. Nobody paid.
Question. Has anybody paid a fine for a ticket?
Yes.
And where do you spend the money?
It's a Louisville ticket.
It's a Louisville ticket.
I know that, but where are you sending the money?
To the city, Louisville.
Can someone point out the subs? I've got the ordinance website here. Which subsection can I look at and make sense of?
Are you talking about in Louisville?
Right. Because that's what you're
okay.
talking about.
Okay. Right? Yeah, I think it's Title VII. No, we don't. We are not enforcing our parking ordinances.
Oh.
Okay. Title VII. I think it's in Title II. You'll find it in Section 74, I believe.
Or all of this is 72 dot.
Okay.
Session, blah, blah, blah.
What? Okay. Whatever the
but
parking is.
Like pages, and I'd like to like kind of narrow it down. Specifically, what are we in violation of, so that I can understand it? You know.
In Title VII.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a section that says parking. If you go down far enough, it lists everything that will get you a ticket.
Most of that seems to be directed towards, like, downtown.
It's countywide.
It's countywide.
Okay.
In Louisville Metro, Jefferson County is countywide.
Where they park on the street and they don't get a ticket.
As I was reading through this, the only thing that I could kind of pick out from that seemed to be a problem was hard surface. And I called the planning office and I talked to them about this issue. And it seemed to kind of go over their head. They didn't understand why it was an issue for us. And they kind of pointed the finger back here to our neighborhood. We need to work it out with them. What's kind of the gist I was getting from them? So, the only thing I could figure out was hard surface.
Yeah, hard surface, but it also in there, it's 4 feet from the driveway.
Okay.
Naturally, the fire hydrants. Okay. All tires on a hard surface. And there's one other one that they'll write it up for, and I can't think of it off the top of my head.
4 feet from the driveway is nearly impossible.
That's exactly right. That's a problem. You know, and oh, I know what it is. The traversing of the emergency vehicles.
Well, being able to move around. So with a fire truck.
Yeah, if you have parking on both sides of the street, on most of those streets, the cul-de-sacs, you can't even have parking on one side. Because the fire trucks are 7.5 feet wide. Most of the cul-de-sacs, the old cul-de-sacs, are 11 feet.
Well, can we invite someone from the 8th District to be a part of this so that they can understand our difficulty? Because I think everybody here would want to comply. I don't want a ticket, and I don't want to cause a fire truck to have a problem.
Right.
If my house is on fire, I want it to get put out.
Tate's crew mostly writes the tickets at night. Okay. Here's the thing that we have the problem with. Most of the problem we have is our crew is mostly writing the tickets at night because we can't have people parking overnight on the street, definitely. Okay.
So it's likely unwritten, but if we were able to avoid overnight parking in those kind of places, we might be...
Yeah, it's like I said, if... Our security team mostly drives around after 6, okay? Anything that's happening, you know, we have police officers that live in the neighborhood, and then, you know, they can write a ticket anytime they want, you know, and we've had that problem, okay? So we can invite somebody from 8th District to Dennis and I want to have a meeting with the new 8th District commander up there, or the major. We haven't been able to because it's COVID-19. Okay, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. Plus, right now, one of the reasons why we're not issuing parking permits is because there's a limited amount of gatherings on the gatherings, and that's one of the problems that we're having is when he issues a parking permit, he's got no way of controlling how many copies are made of it. Okay, so we've had this, even when I was road commissioner, this parking on the street has been a problem, and we got some people that just want to abuse it. And then they park their vehicles that are leaking fluids, and that damages the asphalt, which then turns around and costs the city money. So there's a lot of issues. It's not that we're picking on anybody. We're trying to do our best to resolve it. But as it is right now, it's just a matter of being a safety factor. Because of the COVID-19, we've got to be able to have emergency vehicles traverse these city streets without playing dodge them.
So maybe that's not.
Does anybody have a copy of the ticket that you got with you?
No, I don't have it, but I can bring it on the next meeting.
I can only speak for my street, but on my small.
Which street do you live on?
I'm on Quincy, and occasionally, you know, including myself, will park on the street, but I've never, you know, I've been there 9 years, never had, you know, like double parking.
Well, you can't even, but that you said on Queen Anne's, Queen Anne's is 11 feet wide, 11 and a half feet wide. Yeah. Five truck is 7.5, just past 7.5 feet wide. That right there makes it very tough for all the vehicles, any parked vehicle that have all four tires on the road, for an emergency vehicle to get past it. And keep all their tires on the road, and they have the right if they feel it's time. You know, if we got a fire up at the end of Queen Anne's, they have the right just to plow the car with their bumpers. And I guarantee it's not going to hurt the fire truck. It's going to damage the heck out of the vehicle.
Now, if there was a house on fire, I would be very fine with that. But I guess I'm trying to negotiate what the rules are versus what my life is.
I understand.
And my, you know, I really don't have space to widen the driveway if I wanted to. So I've got to work with just what I've got.
Why don't you have a space? What? I don't understand. Which house do you live in?
I'm right kind of pretty much in the middle of the street.
And you don't have space on either side of your driveway?
I've got about this much. Mm-hmm. This much. That won't fit another car.
Even at that, to say to a neighborhood resident, and not that I'm saying they're necessarily saying this, but you need to invest $3,000 more in order to have an additional vehicle at your home. I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I mean, I already pay my mortgage. I take care of my lawn. I mean, I'm a good citizen, and it, whether it's an 8th district issue or a neighborhood issue, I shouldn't have to pay another $3,000 in order to not have people who come see me get taken.
What's the $3,000?
Well, we checked into what it would look like to add additional...
You mean a parking pad or something?
Yeah.
$3,000?
Yeah, it's
for concrete.
Yeah, that's cheap actually for concrete.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you though, it doesn't have to be concrete.
No, I can't grab
it. It doesn't have to be concrete.
But either way, we don't have to spend the money.
Right, well, you know...
You have to figure out how the house counts by crack.
If I'm that concerned, well, I don't know. I don't think, quite frankly, how far away do you live?
From Gatesfield Park.
Well, I'm going to look at the parking citation. I'm trying to get a copy. But here's the reality.
No, my niece has it. I have a house. Okay. She lives in Prospect.
Do you know her number? Can you take a picture of it and send it to me? Thank you.
Maybe you could do that too.
I'm curious to see what they're saying on that parking citation. Because I might have something to say about that.
Is there anything else?
Why is the 8th District so concerned about what's going on in our city? Because we're an independent city.
Tate writes
tickets, but they're not out there during the day.
Who got a ticket for parking someone visiting your house with you during the day?
No, not in the day, even in the night.
When I get a ticket issued during the day,
it's in the evening.
In the evening, okay, so it's Tate.
Okay.
We're concerned about it just for our issue, is that there's a small group of middle school boys from our church that Dan and another dad lead, and we're concerned that when they come pick up their kids at 8 o'clock on a Sunday evening and just run inside to get their kid, by the time they get back out, they're going to take it.
I'm going to check something here. Hold on.
And then I have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
I have guests coming from out of town on July 4th, and they all will be at my house. Now, what am I supposed to do about parking? Am I going to get a parking pass?
I think we should issue a permit.
Here's the thing.
Okay. We cannot restrict how many people going in someone's house.
I understand.
Well, I don't see why.
Well, it's Corona night. If I want to get Corona, let me get Corona.
Okay.
No, I don't want to hear that as an excuse. I mean, that sounds like an excuse to me. You're not.
I know.
We'll put it on this.
We're the bottom of the totem pole, okay? If state and county have restrictions, then we have to maintain those restrictions.
You can have 50 people. And I'll probably have 50 people
in
my house on 4th of July.
Can I come over?
Well, I can probably tell you, and I can't promise anything, but,
well, 4th of July. Could she request a parking permit or pass by mail, and could Dennis mail her one?
Here's a ticket.
Obviously, just drop them off at
the house. We do parking passes.
I couldn't for some reason.
Because of COVID.
We've been told basically to control the small cities.
We had conference with Fisher.
I said, I can hand deliver these passes because the form is a PDF, but it will not allow me to email them for some reason, so I just fill them out and deliver them to them.
So does it?
So they can get them.
Yeah, they'll be able to get them.
So can I ask you something, Mayor? Is Northern Commons part of the Circuit 8?
All right, send it to me and I'll look at it that way.
Please.
Is Northern Commons part of the 8th district? Do you know that?
Are you talking about the city of Worthington Hills?
Norton's
Common?
Yeah. So they parking on the street all the time.
Well, but that's... Norton Commons probably has larger streets. I don't know anything about Norton Common. We're responsible for the public safety of the city of Worthington Hills.
No, we don't.
Go get your measuring tape.
Mm-hmm. 502.
I go to the doctor over there.
797.
My grandkids.
Anyhow, we're responsible for the public safety.
Right.
And that is what we're...
So parking on the grass is also public safety?
Parking on the grass is just basically, that's Jefferson County's rule. Again, we don't make Jefferson County's rules. We're just basically letting the people know that if you will get a ticket for parking on the grass.
The problem with parking on the grass is people will abuse it.
Yeah.
And there are people in that city that do abuse it and get tickets and keep abusing it. So
we're not trying to be unfriendly.
I mean,
it seems like...
Well, we welcome suggestions, but, you know, we'll listen.
Yeah.
Well, if you
guys can come up with
like
some suggestions to work with.
Or someone who is in charge of that department, you know, to see and discuss it and see where we can get to these. Mm-hmm. Because, honestly, like, we have a party sometimes, like a family reunion after shoot or whatever. And even if they say, like, after 7 or 8 p.m., I can't believe that we're not able to park at least a car on the grass. If we, mm-hmm. I agree with safety concerns on the mic. I live in a cul-de-sac, and for the fire truck, it will be impossible to turn around if a car is parked on the street. So why they don't allow us to park on the grass for at least a couple hours or something? You know, it's not going to be forever.
Again, if you have a parking pass with us, you can. We let them park on the grass as long as it isn't wet. Okay. You have to understand, if you got wet grass or wet ground, it's gonna rut, and then you're gonna get a citation from code enforcement about rutting in your grass, because they will come out. Code enforcement is out looking at the neighborhood also. They're looking at all the neighborhoods. So again, it's not us trying to be unfriendly. Right now, with the concern on these emergency runs on COVID-19. Problems. We're just trying to make it, for, you know, in this case, that becomes an issue because the ambulances are just as wide as fire trucks. We don't want to stop somebody from getting medical attention. And I'm not arguing the point that I want to stop anybody from having a family get together. It's the problem with the width of the streets and the safety factor. And some people, like Commissioner Hall said, they just abuse the right to park, okay, or parking on the street.
I understand you because I witnessed the way the sunshine can blind you. And I witnessed a gentleman hit one of the work vans that they parked on the street every night, down the street from us, a couple of doors down from here.
Wow.
And I watched him. I was like, oh my God, please get away. And he was blinded by the sun, and it's that van. I understand that. But for people just visiting, that's just ridiculous. You know, the overnight, I'm against it. I definitely am against that. Because it is dangerous, and I've witnessed that.
Well, we can have somebody in from 8th District, and then we can
talk to them. But 8th District didn't write tickets. I don't know why we would have them come in. It seems to me that the one that was written there was Tate. I don't know. If, I mean, that's just one man's...
She was parked across our driveway. But it's our driveway, and with our guests.
What?
Yeah.
Across the driveway? I can't.
And I gave her a ticket. She was like across our driveway because so she wouldn't like just park it out on the street.
So she wouldn't hang out onto the street.
I don't know who gave a ticket for parking. Did Tate write that ticket for parking across the driveway?
Sure did. Is there a time of day on that ticket?
On the street across the driveway. Oh, okay. On the street across the driveway. Oh, okay.
It's probably within 4 feet of the mailbox or something.
We're trying to have a meeting with Tate so we can talk these things out with Tate. Okay.
I'll send him a question.
So, will I be able to get a parking pass for 4th of July? Parking passes?
As far as we're concerned, if you want a parking pass, we'll go ahead and issue it. But there again, it, you know, keep in mind, we're concerned about, you're on day run? Okay. Still concerned with, you know, if we, if somebody, if they park on both sides, if they park on both sides of the streets, we're going to have problems. Okay? That is the problem we have on, you know,
parking meters.
Both sides of the street makes it totally impossible.
We never had them do that. No,
what about your neighbors across the street?
Well, that would be us.
Oh, are you? Oh, okay. You're up there by Maxwell Court.
No, I'm right on the corner
of R1.
Okay.
R1 and
Bay
Run.
Yes. Well, R1's a real problem. If you park on R1, R1's a problem. Okay? R1 is a problem.
I understand because that's going into the cul-de-sac.
Right. R1 is definitely a problem. We've been trying to correct that problem in R1 for years. Okay? If it wasn't for the down where the guy used to have the RV,
mm-hmm.
and we had the problem with him, and
it still parked there. We couldn't park ours.
Yeah, well, they can't park. The RVs can't park. Be parked in permanent.
It's year round, every day, all day, every day.
I know, but it's gone.
Is it gone now? Mm-hmm. I'm so used to looking at it.
Yeah, it's been gone for about 8 months.
Yeah, because we had to put ours in storage.
Yeah, they caught somebody living in it.
But he's a police.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, we'll work on it. Okay. We'll talk with Kate's crew. Okay, and let them know what we've got. But you definitely got to get parking passes. Okay. But again, let me warn you: the parking pass doesn't stop 8th District. So we need, you know, we have to have a, Dennis and I are going to have a meeting with the 8th District Major, so that they know also about our parking permits out here. Okay.
Well, actually, to tell you the truth, the last couple of times we had company and everybody was on the grass. Nobody got tickets.
Me neither.
No one. No one got tickets.
Saturday and I have 3 cars on the grass, I haven't get it.
Well, it could be.
The officer was around and all.
Yeah, see, that's just it. There's been some limited coverage because of the stuff going on downtown.
Well, we need to talk to 8th District and
okay.
Alright,
we'll talk to our guys. We're supposed to have a meeting with Tate this week, so we'll talk to Tate about it. Okay? Anything else besides parking? Yes, sir.
Just hoping for some clarification on this. I didn't know about this until I looked at the website today. From last month, if I'm reading Section 3, it says that there was a tax levy. I'm sorry, Section 2. A tax of 0.2047% per $100 levied against the value of the land. Is that in addition to this most recent JCPS tax?
No.
Or what is that?
Every year we have to pass a tax ordinance.
Okay.
We have not, the last time we raised taxes, or we made a tax adjustment that was actually down, was in 2017 because of the assessment. We get assessed every 4 years. Next year's our assessment year. In 17, we got an assessment that was 18% increase in our property values. So we had to actually decrease the amount of taxes at the time. So,
because there's a law that says you can only increase them so much.
Yeah, you can't.
So if your property value increases, it takes that percentage above that, and the city's obligated to lower it.
Right. We're allowed 4% increase in our property revenue, property tax revenue, annually.
Really?
So
we don't raise it.
Okay. But because our property values jumped up 18%, we had to back down the property tax amounts so that we could get it within that 4% range and maintain it. We try to maintain zero increase in our tax rate. Okay? Because by keeping the property values going up, in the case of the 17, they haven't reassessed any of the houses in most of Jefferson County for like 10 years. They were in violation of the Kentucky statute, and so they basically started getting back into a cycle. And next year, like I said, we're supposed to have a tax assessment. It may happen next year, and then it may, again, it may be another year, depending on what's going on in the environment. I'll put it that way.
We're going to stay here the next meeting, and we'll talk to him between now and then.
Yeah. Anything else?
I have a question.
Okay.
And the answer might just be a simple yes or no.
Okay.
The business that is behind our property, what's the name of it?
Ground Effects.
At some point...
Oh, that one, yeah.
Yeah, that one. Is there an issue with them having runoff water that's out of compliance? Like, there was some concern that they were going to, the runoff water from that property was going to erode some of the neighborhood in Worthington Hills. Is that still an issue?
No. We had a meeting with Ground Effects, and that was what we challenged them on. And MSD assured us the fact that there wouldn't be a problem with the amount of water coming off their second. They were putting in the, they connected to the next building towards Chamberlain, okay? And they were putting in a drainage pipe that actually went from Jefferson County, Metro Louisville, into the city of Worthington Hills over in the condo area. And it runs water into that basin that's down there where the condos was. And we challenged them on that additional water was going to affect our ability for drainage in Worthington Hills.
Proper drainage.
Right, proper drainage. And the Metro Louisville said it was going to be fine.
What is it? What? I'm sorry?
Is it still an erosion problem going on?
As far as I would not know about whether or not there's an erosion problem. I just know that during the whole COVID lockdown, when they weren't open, it was like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, because there's no noise back there.
Well, because the issue that we have with it is that the noise...
There's a noise ordinance.
Yes. Well, but what we're still getting is noise.
I mentioned that in that meeting.
Anywhere from 10 o'clock in the evening until 3 and 4 in the morning.
I know.
And they're using horns to communicate with each other.
Right, that's going to stop.
What?
I'm going to be sure that stops.
Most definitely. We hear it all the way around. Yeah, straight fine.
The other issue that's happening now, though, is there is a toxic chemical smell that's coming from that place.
Is there?
And we are right behind them.
Call the health department. Call 311.
Okay.
311 and tell them that you want to talk to someone in the health department. And tell them that there's a toxic smell that you hear. And also ask for code enforcement. Tell them that you think that there's chemicals that are leaking and that they're violating the noise ordinance. Okay?
Okay.
So, Metro government is pretty good about responding and getting people out to do that. So if that doesn't work, you can call me. I'll give you my cell number.
I'm sure Dan has it.
Okay. And then it's 7... Well, anyway, call me and we'll get on top of this.
Okay.
Because what I determined was that Bob had a letter that said that his contractor was going to do something and comply.
All right.
So he brings that up, and they said, well, we never contracted before.
Yeah, they actually, we got it from James and the guy that lives next door to him.
Jim's 2 doors down from us.
Jim
had all the water problems.
Yeah, Jim had all the water problems. They got that problem fixed. But his next door neighbor still had one of the old notices, and we got a copy of it, and we gave it to him at the time of the meeting, and they were... The people out of Canada, because we wouldn't, before we would allow them to do the drainage, we demanded a public, or basically a hearing with them, okay, to voice are the problems we have with them even opening up. And they were quite surprised about that flyer. Of course, you know, they made promises and you know what that is. You know, they're out of Canada, they can care.
They don't care.
Yeah.
I guess my concern is now, and part of the reason why I asked about the the erosion with the water and all that kind of thing, is that now that there's that chemical smell, I never occurred to me before now, what chemicals are in that water that's washing away from that plant?
It's, and where's it coming from, yeah.
Yes, right. And one of our neighbors came down to our house yesterday evening and said everything that's behind his house is dying.
Oh.
He can't keep it alive. And when I hear that, like you start going to conspiracy theory movie, you know, what's happening here? Because I don't want to get sick.
No, this is serious stuff.
Yeah.
You know, who was our, who is your representative here?
For who?
Who's the state representative for this?
Winkler. For
I can see it. It's Jason Nemus.
That's who you need to get on it.
Okay.
I think that'll be the quickest thing is to call. And they're pretty damn responsive because
you're
the people who vote in or vote them out. So I've found that they are very responsive. And if you mentioned what you said about this, everything dying, about the noise, and about the chemical smell.
He lives right here in Roland County, so he will be, he would be probably able to come out and
contact
the
office.
Well.
Yeah, we're in two districts, aren't we? So.
Okay, Nemus is the person, the representative.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and who else were you saying that?
Marcus Winkler, W-A-N-K-L-A-R.
This is serious.
Mm-hmm. You can smell them too over there.
Wait, I didn't know what it was. I just had a safe.
Are you certain it's coming from that place though, not from Ford Motor Company?
Well, it could be. They opened up another facility. They had the existing one, then they moved down to the next one. It used to be, I don't remember what they was. That was some sort of mailing outfit, and they leased that. And it could be that whatever they put in there has something to do with the chemicals, because they didn't have the chemicals before the new building.
Well, I noticed, you know, like I said, they were gone for a while. So it was like there was a respite from it. And then as soon as they come back, I immediately noticed that smell, and it made me wonder, have we gotten used to this over time?
Oh, yeah.
And then that we had a break from it, now all of a sudden we're sensitive to it again.
Right, right.
They're putting coatings on Ford products. Is that what they're doing?
I think they're putting beds in the package.
They take new trucks and put all the new items on it.
It's like a spraying.
But are they spraying chemicals or using chemicals?
Oh, I'm sure.
Hard
pressed to think they weren't.
Okay.
They're from the animal shelter.
Is there anything else before we move along?
We do have to move along.
Thank you.
Yes, I live in Hillsville Court, and I have a big ditch over there.
A what?
A ditch.
A ditch.
Ditch. Yeah.
Ditch. I like
the ditch.
Yeah. And I've been calling MSD since last year, and they just done nothing. So when I
call MSD, ask for the legal department.
For the what?
For the law department. They have an internal law department.
What's it doing? Is it backflowing?
Yes, it's water sitting there all the time. A lot of debris coming when it rains, and some little trees coming out. Like they cleaned it like 2 years ago, but after that call several times. But
tell the legal that you've called, and whenever you call someone, you always write it down. And if you talk to someone, you write down their name.
Mm-hmm.
So I call legal, just call MSD and say, talk to the law department, and get someone in the law department and say, look, I've called, don't exaggerate, you know, within the last 6 months, I called, and we have a problem that you abated or fixed 3 years ago, but the problem is again, and they ignore me, they never call back. So
that's, you know, what happens, they never call me back.
So then you just say, please check on this, and then when you make a call and complain, they're supposed to make a note of it. So, and then ask them to take care of it, and if they don't, and then ask them to take care of it, when they're going to take care of it, I need a date, specific date that they're going to do it, and if they don't do it, call me.
All right.
Ask them for a case number.
There you go.
When you call, because I just had somebody complain
I just called, but I always ask for a case number. Write the case number down, and I will follow up in about 3 weeks. I will call. The case number is, what is the, are you working on it, you know, that type of thing. But get the case number. It's like a 7-digit number, and she'll give it to you.
All right. I will do that.
Do we have an MSD ditch behind Heathville?
Yeah, it runs between, it's shared, kind of shared with
Oakhurst.
Yes.
And also, I signed a permission to go into my property to install, to do all the electric work, to put a light on the cul-de-sac.
Thank you.
And I saw one on the front that I haven't seen.
Okay.
I have
a go ahead. Yeah, she's got some follow-up, but the light is definitely going in, but we got it from, what's his name?
I'm looking at my notes
for Ali. We got it from, it's going between Ali and the next guy's down, that little section between their two driveways.
Mm-hmm.
The power line's coming down the side of Ali's property.
Okay.
And going to run in between the two driveways there. And that is in the process of being done.
They're getting ready to send out call before you dig people and get them to start.
But they're not going to be on my property?
No, sir.
Okay.
But you are going to get the light.
All right. So that's the more important. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
Cool.
Anything else? Good meeting. Please, the biggest problem we had prior to COVID, okay, was people with visitors would not contact the city for the parking permits. Okay? If you got people coming over and you can't get them in the driveway, you need to make sure to get a parking permit. Okay?
Sometimes you don't know.
Understand that, but keep in mind, you know, it's the parking permits are needed, period. And because we got no control, and basically once they come out there, if they don't see a parking permit, they're going to write the ticket. Okay? We'll do our best. All right. Anything else? We need to move along. It shouldn't take us very long, but all right. The November 19, 2020 city meeting minutes. Is there any corrections or anything needed? Do I hear a motion to accept the minutes?
Make a motion to accept the minutes.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall.
I second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It's unanimous. The city financial reports, they were sent out last week. I put a little note on there because when I first looked at them, I'm like, how could you be off this much? And then I realized that the banking statements were a day earlier than, or 2 days earlier than the financial report runs from month to month, from the beginning to the end. So after I figured out those numbers matched up, everything was good. So that's why I put that note on there, so nobody would have to work an extra hard, okay? So with that in mind, is there anything that anybody, any question on the financial reports? Do I hear a motion to accept the financial reports?
Motion made.
Okay, and do I hear a second? Thank you, Commissioner Bedell.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? Unanimous. All right. I'm the last one to sign off on the approval sheet. So since everybody's got their initials on here, the approval sheet's passed. All right. Old business. Oh, city attorney's report. Do you have any? We need to pass the stuff before we do anything.
Yes.
Okay. So, but I've got that down in here in old business. So let me first see if there's any commissioners with any old business that they need to bring up.
Only the schedule the
I talked to Dan Nall with Elgini Outdoor Lighting, and the job has gone to construction, and Bud has been contacted, and they're going to start working on the locates to get the find out where the cables are and all that. And they have a meeting tomorrow morning. He has a meeting with construction, and he is going to follow up with me after their meeting to give me a date.
Okay, good. So it's probably going to be in by next month, by next meeting?
Maybe.
Okay. All right, good. All right.
I have one thing. It's old business. The lights at the front entrance are finally done, and we replaced the light at the flagpole. That's done. And the electrical panels are finally repaired.
And you got the irrigation system fixed, didn't you?
It's on. I'm going to talk about that in the new business. I've got some things we're doing with that. But yeah, they're all on.
Okay.
Now, we were supposed to get a credit or an adjustment
from the irrigation company?
From the water company because of the leak. Remember,
I have no idea.
What
you do that on the bill?
Well, she has to have documentation.
You need a bill from the irrigation company.
She needs documentation.
We should get an adjustment on our next water bill because we had the leak and I reported the leak
right
immediately and filled out the paperwork for the adjustment for them to do an adjustment
right.
And so I didn't know if
I didn't see an adjustment on the water bill.
Okay.
Do they not have to have documentation that the problem was fixed?
I had to have documentation that the problem was fixed. That's what I'm saying. So
okay.
If you can send me a copy of the... I asked Bev to send me a copy of the irrigation repair bill so I could send that to the water company and say, see, we fixed it.
Right. Okay. It is repaired.
Because I think we use something like 10,000 gallons, and we'd like to get reimbursed for a little bit of that since the water was shown straight up in the air.
All right. Before we get into the reading of the ordinance, we need to go one more time on this budget that had been proposed. Is there any adjustments at all?
Did you get the email I sent you? Okay.
I just wanted a yes or no, but yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we didn't have anything that really needed to be adjusted. I wanted to make sure one more time, so that when we put the numbers in the ordinance, okay, and as such, that's why I wanted to make sure we had the correct numbers for the ordinance. So that's the reason why I was checking. So. Do I hear a motion to accept the proposed budget for 2021? I'll make a motion.
I'll make a motion to
accept the budget for 2021's budget.
A second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. All right, so Stone's first, Commissioner Hall second. Let's go ahead and do a roll call vote. Let's start with the Commissioner Bedell.
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell.
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf.
Yes.
Commissioner Hall.
Yes.
Mayor Stone. Yes. Okay. So it's unanimous. All right.
Is it for the minutes purposes? Is that a second reading? Is that considered second?
No. We only need ordinance on second reading. Well, we had to agree to the.
Which is a proposal, but it's a proposal.
Okay.
The proposal.
I'm trying to do Bev a favor.
This is a proposal.
Okay. Oh, well, you're doing it. Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm going to write it down around the proposal.
All right. I guess the next thing, wherever my things went, is the Mr. Swagger will read us the ordinance so that we can then take a
motion and a second and take a vote.
So right, this is Ordinance 3, Series 2020, City of Woodland Hills, Kentucky, Fiscal Year 2021 Budget Ordinance. Be ordained by the City of Woodland Hills that, Section 1, in accordance with KRS 91A.030, paren 10, that the City of Woodland Hills, Kentucky does hereby ordain Fiscal Year 2021 Budget Ordinance as follows. Line item, General Fund Revenue without carryover, $341,056. Media expense, $9,900. Open space maintenance, $29,000. Operating expense, $21,500. Operations expense, $8,600. Road expense, $41,000. Salary expense, $71,992. Security expenses, $25,000. Utility expenses, $134,000. Jesus. This ordinance shall be effective July 1, 2020, by signing and publications required by law. Passed and approved the 16th day of June 2020 at a regularly scheduled meeting of this legislative body of the City of Woodland Hills pursuant to law. Of course, you need to vote, and if it passes, right, then we'll sign it. I've already signed this.
Okay.
And I changed a little bit.
Okay. So, do I hear a motion to accept the Ordinance 3? Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. We have to, because it's an ordinance, we have to have a roll call vote again. Start with Commissioner Beville.
Yes.
Commissioner Campbell.
Yes.
Commissioner Metcalf.
Yes.
Commissioner Hall.
Yes.
And Mayor Stone, yes. Okay, is there, I know that I've got it on there about the spring gathering, community gathering. Denson and I talked to somebody yesterday. Hopefully we can get some volunteers on for this committee. So, is there anything else anybody want to bring up about it? I just leave it on there. Okay.
We got plenty of candy.
I know we have plenty of candy. We may have to bring it to the meetings and pass around. Once we get rid of this COVID-19, I'm so tired of it. New business. Any commissioner that have new business? I think, did you have something?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
All right, so the irrigation, I talked to Bill about installing hydrometers or their hydro sensors on all the irrigation systems. It's something we talked about, so they don't run all the time if it's raining, right? He got back to us and said basically it's about 150 per island, and he could install them. So it's a no-brainer. If it's raining, it's going to save us money on water. Sprinklers need to be turned on. That's something we need to do that. We're starting to lose plant life because it's not getting enough water. one of the questions I had is for new businesses, is it possible to put a letter, with something we talked about this morning, the tax bills about people throwing crap over their fence into the green space? It's literally habitual. It's the city dump. So, If that's possible, I'll even pin the letter.
Well, we have most of the letter done. Okay.
Can we add a
thing? Well, you add a paragraph.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's keep it neighborhood friendly.
You know, the problem with figuring out who does it, but do you ever hear the song Alice's Restaurant?
No.
It's a great song. And it's a true story.
I'll have to look it up.
So it's Thanksgiving, and they dump something illegally, and they cite Alice's Restaurant. So, and they've even figured out who to cite because it was something in the trash that identified them. So if you want to move through the trash, you can figure out the name and anomaly.
Well, it's not trash. It's yard waste, and it's tree limbs.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's all coming over their fences. I got hydrangea tops last week. But, I mean, hydrangea tops not a big deal. If you say, well, hydrangeas aren't a big deal, and
flyer limb's a big deal, right?
He's cutting
them. There's literally a guy, and I won't mention who or what, but is throwing all of these. He's collecting his grass clippings, and then he's throwing them out on the big green space.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's been going on now for about 6 weeks.
Well, then we need to cite him.
Well, I thought maybe we'd send a letter first.
Okay.
And then,
why is he doing it?
I have no idea. I don't stop and ask.
Because he only cares about himself.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, that's it.
Why didn't he even get back to us on that?
It's not everybody, right?
Send him a letter and say it's not about you. It's about everybody in the city. That's where I started.
Yeah, that's not the worst thing to throw over the fence. I can just tell you that. Glass clippings are welcome compared to the rest.
Okay. Anything else?
That's all for me.
Okay. Because the property tax mailing letter was the first thing on this full agenda. We had Steve sent back his wording on the agenda on the letter, which kind of made it a little bit more compact. So with his new letter there, Harold, you've got a little bit of space additional that you can put that in. Okay. Don't want to make it real small type because the old folks can't read like me. Okay, when it's real small type.
I think you can say it in one sentence. Please be neighborly and not throw your trash over your fence. I mean,
into the easements or the green space. Okay.
Because the worst part is like the Lindenberg entrance, we just literally paid to clean that out from fence to fence, and there's already tree limbs being thrown back in there.
You know, I put, like, for those who are throwing yard waste over their fence into the open space, you're going to be cited if you don't stop it. You got to put some teeth in it.
Yeah.
Well,
I may let you put the teeth in it.
We'll get it. But we need to have that letter. The tax bills, we have the tax bills, so all we need to do is finalize the letter, okay? And it doesn't take a city meeting to finalize the letter. We need to finalize the letter.
Will you send that out to us so we can see it before it's sent out to?
Steve, you send it out to everybody. They'll ask one out.
Okay.
Well, I'll send out what Steve sent me just to make sure.
Yeah, wait, I'm going to add some wording about yard waste, and then I'll send it to everybody.
Okay. Yeah, it has to be disposed of properly, not in our.
Yeah, the problem is, I mean, if I pick it up, I just get off my mower and pick it up, throw it back over the fence where it came from, then I'm the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
But I'm dealing with ding dong with mowing the grass and throwing crap over our fence, and I've already had that happen once. So. I mean, I didn't do anything over the fence, but I was accused of putting something.
Right. Of course, they'd claim that someone got hit by it, you know. And then
oh, yeah. Yeah, we don't want that.
Well, it'd be different if Runke didn't pick up yard waste. I mean, they'd pick it up.
Yeah, that's a good point, Carol.
That's a good point. Okay. Derby City Protection's contract renewal is July 1st, and we need to go ahead and approve continuing that because we didn't. You know, Tate's been doing a good job. We've had a lot less vandalism going on since they took over. So I'd like to. Is there any objections or is there anything y'all want to discuss about it? We can go month to month, but I would rather just get this taken care of. All right, do I hear a motion to renew the contract with Derby City Protection?
I'll make the motion.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Beville. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. All those in favor, aye. The contract's returned.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Thank you. Anybody would know, that's unanimous. All right. The next item that we have to approve is the Kentucky League of Cities Insurance Services insurance renewal. It comes effective July 1st. I sent all them documents out there. It was a couple hundred dollar increase on, you know, overall. And I didn't see any big major changes other than, you know, they added some benefits to it. What they did add that was unique was they offered the option of paying monthly or quarterly or something. The only drawback from that is they wanted on an ACH, which means they're going to automatically draw it from the bank accounts, and I have a problem with that. So I would rather just go ahead and pay it annually. If there anybody that would rather do something different, speak up now.
What's our accountant say?
You're under pressure here, Dan.
Doesn't matter to me.
Doesn't matter to him.
I just bring the checks. I mean, whether it's one check annually or it automatically comes out every month.
What's an ACH? Automatic.
Oh, a check for
clearinghouse. Like the utility payments are all ACH, where they all suck them out. I tell them when to do it. I think some of them. But.
Yeah. Well, my idea is let's just get it over with. We got it in the budget. Get it done with it. You know? It's one less thing we have to deal with. All right. So, do I hear a motion to renew the KLCIS insurance policies and have an annual payment?
I will make that motion.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
A second.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? It's unanimous again. Storage unit renewal.
Can I ask a question, please? KLCIS, you said?
KLCIS, Kentucky League of Cities Insurance Services.
I just wanted to make sure I had it right.
Yeah.
So are you the new city clerk?
I'm just trying to help her. I told you.
No,
storage unit renewal. We talked about this before. I sent you the difference of, you know, you pay monthly or you pay annually, you get an extra month. Buy 12, get 13. I prefer to buy 12 and get the freebie, okay? Trying to save the money. And we really like our storage unit, I mean, honestly. So, is there any objection to paying me annually on the storage unit? And I'll go over there and pay it by credit card after the first or whatever. All right, do I hear a motion to pay the Aladdin storage unit annually?
We're making motions to pay them annually.
Thank you, Commissioner Hall. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Next thing that we've got is the annual membership for Jefferson County League of Cities. The membership renewal for us is $100.
That's not on here.
Huh?
It's not on here. For what?
It might have not got on there. I sent that email out that had all the materials on the Jefferson County League of Cities. We have an annual membership. Okay, we were previously a sixth class city. We're a home rule city now, but they still keep us in the different classes, and sixth class cities have the lowest cost per membership. That's why it's an annual. They request the payment, you know, sometime between July 1st and August 31st, I think. But I want to just go ahead and get it done with. Is there any objection to renewing the JCLC membership?
Sure.
They keep us advised. They're the ones that got us this. Got us that information on the cable contract, so we get our money's worth for $100.
Sure do.
I make a motion that we pay the $100 and stay a member.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell. Do I hear a second?
Second.
They were trying to figure out if there should be a Bob Stone surcharge, but they said. I'm sorry.
Okay, we have first was. The motion was from Commissioner Campbell. The second was from Commissioner Metcalf. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, it's unanimous. The last thing I have on new business is Jefferson County fireworks regulations. If it goes up in the air and goes boom, it's illegal. And if we have our security teams out here, they are going to be writing them up, and they are going to be confiscating the fireworks. We have somebody in the neighborhood who's doing mortars, and they're doing them now. It's a violation of Jefferson County ordinance, and I don't know about anybody else. As long as they're, you know, I understand the 4th of July, most people don't really care, and mostly the police don't enforce much. But prior to and after is a problem. It disturbs the neighbors. We have neighbors who are elderly. We have neighbors with young kids. We have neighbors with pets. And I'm not gonna say I condone it on the 4th, but I'm not gonna say that I can say you can't do it. All I'm saying is I want to make it very aware that this is an ordinance in Jefferson County. And it actually is protection. It's protection for the property owners too. We have to fire off airborne type of fireworks. You're supposed to have so much distance of open space. Plus, you're supposed to be have fire protection. All this is in, again, this is another Jefferson County ordinance. You can find it in there. If you go to their ordinance and just type in fireworks, it'll take it right down to what their code is. Okay? But I just wanted to bring that up so that everybody knows. And that's just it for that. Is there anything else that's new? Okay. All right, now we can do the commissioner's reports. Who wants to go first?
I will.
All right, Commissioner DeVille, you're first on.
I did my weekly streetlight checks and reported out outages, repairs were made to the lights on Fuseli Drive and Jefferson Court. I contacted Rumpke about the duplication of a street address on the list of homes serviced in the city, which added an additional $14.30 to our monthly bill beginning in February. They have corrected the error and said a credit would be issued. I don't know if that's happened or not. And I've already talked about the additional street lights on the Ray, Hillsdale, and Rustburg.
Right.
That contract has been signed and submitted. That's my report for the month of May.
Okay, thank you.
Does everybody email these to Beth? Copies? Do you send copies?
Do what?
Do you send copies to Beth of your report?
Yes, I email mine.
Okay, I just want to make sure I don't need to be...
Oh no, we...
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Bedell. Commissioner Campbell, would you like to be next? I'll just go around the circle.
Okay. On May 19th, I met with Steve Triplett from All Terrain Paving and Construction. Robert Stoneham, Mayor, joined us, and we drove the streets of our city to check the condition of the roads. We will have pavement maintenance, crack repair on all the courts, as well as on Middlesex Drive and Bay Run Drive. He submitted a quote of $19,689, which the commission approved at the monthly meeting that evening. Early June 2020, All Terrain Paving and Construction began crack repair on the streets of the city of Worthington Hills, and they are all finished except for Middlesex. And I talked with the foreman, and it'll be a couple more days, and they will have that finished. On June 8th, received an email from Susan Dawes at Louisville Metro Public Works concerning the following complaint. Caller stated that there's a deep rut in the easement near the driveway of 12211 Jonelle Court that's holding water and is causing the homeowner to drive mud all over the street. Caller did not leave contact information. I checked out the complaint. The deep rut is immediately next to the driveway and is caused by the tires when backing out. Called Susan Dawes back and sent a picture. Also explained that the homeowner is responsible for all property, including easement from the front of the house to the street. She took the information, and if the person calls in again, would relay that message. They would have to contact the city of Worthington Hills instead of Metro Louisville. And June 15th, called MSD concerning damage/holes next to drainage grate on property between 4116 and 4118 Northumberland Drive. MSD already repaired this area, but these holes developed after the repairs to the drainage area were made. They are marked with upside down cones. I was given a case number.
Okay. Thank you, but I want to add something that you may not be aware of. Dennis and I, when we go to the mailbox, we go down Halifax, one of the neighbors up on Halifax. The, you know where it meets the intersection there, Lubenberg and Halifax?
Yeah.
And the house that sits catty corner that they just sold?
Right.
It has new, we have new tenants in there. I talked to the owner, one of the owners last night, the husband. The person that's right behind that house on Halifax has damaged, their contractor has damaged our street up there. Even after we, last Friday, not this past Friday, yeah, this, was it this past Friday? No, it was, which Friday did we go on the mail run? It was, well, not this past, it wasn't this past Friday, because we had the guys out there, they were up by the flagpole, so we went down and talked to them, and they fixed the damage. We turned around, yeah, it was last Friday.
Yeah.
And then we went to the mail today, and the damage was back again because they had, the contractors had come back and done it again.
So what are they doing? Are they just,
well, you know where they tarred everything?
The big gouges in the pavement, really, where they unloaded their trailer.
Oh.
And the Bobcat is sucked up the ass, the little tarring.
Oh my,
you know, just like
God.
It did over there on the Pacelli in the condos. So we're talked to Dennis, and we're going to go. We're trying to find out. He saw the contractor. He said it's M&M something, but we're going to approach the homeowner on Saturday. I also talked to the new resident, and the new resident is looking to have, you know, introduce himself to the neighbor and find out who the contractor was, so we can, you know, kind of share information. Because they did do damage to his property too, because they went around.
Okay,
so I just want to let you know that, you know, we had gotten it fixed and they turned around and busted it up again. So
that is crazy. That's
I know. It's
okay.
You try to take care of stuff, and then
so you're taking care of it then.
We're okay. Going to find out the contractor's name, and then we're going to give Steve the name and have him send them a legal notice to that needs to be repaired up there.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you for your commissioner report there, Commissioner Campbell. Commissioner Metcalf.
All right. Drove city on multiple occasions. Went to post office with Mayor Stoneham each Friday and on Tuesday 6/16. Participated in two conference calls with Mayor Fisher's office. On 5/31/20, reported suspicious vehicle to Delaware City Protection. Answered two emails and two phone calls. On 6/15/20, received a call from Andrea Keith at 12010 Luray Court concerning a warning she received from code enforcement about a dead tree behind the fence, which she believed did not belong to her. Mayor Stoneham and I met with her and her husband, and we were able to determine that the tree was on their property, and she was very cooperative.
Yeah, thanks to the plats we got on the fencing issue, we were able to show them where their property line. It's really hard not to take those kind of type time and just talk with them. And we did have a lifelong talk with her, and she showed a very high interest in becoming more actively involved in the city. Okay. All right, Commissioner Hall.
All right. Continue to report code violations to 311. They've been very busy out here recently. 6/13, Molly Burke called at 4705 Lunenburg and let me know that the grass on 11902 Boynton Court was knee-high. She reported it 311, and so did I. It's been since kind of sort of moved. 6/4/20, Johnson Electric repaired and replaced all the lights on the Westport Road entrance. 6/11/20, they repaired the disconnect boxes on Boynton Court and the flagpole islands. Also installed a new flagpole light. The main property was mowed 5/23, 5/30, 6/6, and 6/13. Weed eating and mowed the secondary properties 5/24, 5/31, and 6/7.
under just basic general cleanup out there, what's happened is the bushes of the flagpole and Boynton have all been trimmed, cut and removed, a large Cherokee trunk behind 11916 Cunningham's Court. 5556 and 511 worked on removing a large locust tree that fell and hit the property owner's fence at 402 Northumberland and 4513 Mecklenburg Court, removed all the materials. 5-7, Weed Man came out and fertilized the islands. It's their second application of six. It's a spring fertilization. 5-10, took care of weeding the drainage ditches off of Lindenburg into the large holding pond. 5-17, weeded fences around trees and ditch lines in the large green space. Weed ditches between Queen Anne's and Rustburg Place and behind Lorraine. 5-24, sprayed weeds in the rock beds, Boynton and the flag. Pole Islands. 5:30, remove stumps at Flagpole and Lindenburg entrance to the large green space. That space should be getting grassy today. 5:16, finished removing the stumps. Finished removing the stumps of the Lindenburg area. 6:12, remove the stumps of the holding pond between Rustburg Place and Queen Anne's. 6:12, also weeded holding pond drainage ditch behind Lorraine and around all the trees behind Queen Anne's. 6:13, removed stumps between Queen Anne's Court and Mecklenburg. Trimmed all low-lying branches on 6:13 in the main green space between Mecklenburg and Queen Anne's Courts and the holding pond area between Rustburg and Queen Anne's and between Moray and Mecklenburg Court. 6:13, removed the hackberry tree to the Mecklenburg green space entrance. That's done. 6:14, continued to remove the low-lying limbs, cut back saplings, girdled the balance of the poison ivy and bittersweet on the green space behind Lindenburg and between Rustburg Place and Queen Anne's Courts. Consolidated all tree cuttings in the pile so they can be removed. And on 6:16, Weed Man came out and conducted their early summer weed control.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Hall. And so all the audience left, so there's nothing else. Do I hear a motion to...
I may be a little bit late joining the webinar on Thursday. I'm not sure I can be on there right at 9:30.
Okay. Well, they just... when they sent the emails out on Monday, they also said that they were going to be... they're going to be caught. The video of them will be on... the website are available to you up until I think the July 18th. If you read the email, I think there was something in there on that. So I just wanted to make you aware of that. So is there anything else? If not, do I hear a motion to adjourn the meeting?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thank you, Commissioner Metcalf. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Commissioner Campbell.
I gotta wait for it to get dark, so I don't know. 8:23.